So how was the cross-country track?
I loved it.
Yeah?
I loved it. You know, the funny thing about driving for me is that I can drive in any condition. Snow, like blizzard, I don't care. Obviously, the heat, because it doesn't really affect you. Rain, doesn't matter. But the thing that drives me up the wall is wind.
Mm-hmm.
Because these gusts come in and just whoo, and then rock your car all around. And I think it's hilarious that I have a trouble with wind because I am so full of hot air.
So is it an error-free journey?
No.
No.
No, going through El Paso, which, by the way, is such a strange experience because it's like on the right, you have a thriving American city. On the left, whatever the opposite of that is, across the border. It's so strange. Yeah. Like, oh, those houses are made out of clay.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange. But yeah, through El Paso and then into New Mexico, very windy. I had my first dust storm.
Ooh, any dirt devils?
Yeah. No dirt devils, but, and it wasn't, I say dust storm, but it was really like a, you know, like a little dust shower.
No.
That's a.
Did your car get all covered with dust?
No.
No? Because you were driving so fast?
No, I may have overstated exactly how much of a dust experience it was, John. It was just a little dusty.
A little dusty. The dogs were good?
The dogs were great. Yeah. The one of them yacked on the first day. All over the back seat. It was fantastic. Fun to clean that up in 20-degree weather in Pennsylvania. But after that, aces all the way.
All the way. That's awesome. So this is episode 97 of Foul Territory, baseball podcast. Right. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is the Joe Bimel episode. He is the only player in the history of baseball to wear number 97, and he wore it for several seasons with five different teams, so it's legit. It's not just a one and done, you know, minor leaguer thing.
Minor call-up thing. Hey, I have a question for you. What number should this be? It's 97, but what number should we be on?
Like 125?
Like, let's say we had any sort of regular schedule.
Something like that. I think it's like every 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, we have a conflict that requires us to take a week off. But I think it's pretty amazing that we've been able to do it. You've bounced back and forth between LA and New York several times in the last couple of years. Yeah. I've been bouncing all over Mexico, so we're making it work.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You're growing your marijuana fields and
not anymore. I'm in the Ciudad de Mexico. I'm in the big city.
Oh, they don't have drugs in Mexico City?
They may, but they're not. Well, although I should.
Oh, there's no field. You're saying no crops to. Yeah. Of course, yes. You have your people handling that while you're in the city.
Right. Very lush city, though. I must say, I was quite surprised by how much greenery is in Mexico City. Very, very beautiful.
Is that normal there? Because I know it's super green here in L.A., which is very strange.
No, there's just trees.
Normally, the hills
everywhere.
Are brown.
Yeah, no, this time of year, this is the best time of year to be in California, is right after the rainy season because it's lush, right? You get the greens, you get the grass on the hillsides aren't brown. It's beautiful. Yeah. Can't wait.
Travel territory with John and Jed.
So dogs first, travel next. I'll be in L.A. and I will be seeing Jed over the weekend. So
in person.
In person. So we'll tell you all about it on the next episode, on episode 98 of Foul Territory. Coming to you soon down the road.
Down the road, next week or later.
Later. So we do have one really huge, big piece of news. It's been long awaited, the Bryce Harper signing with the Phillies. Kind of not a surprise. That was.
I mean, it seems like 6 years ago this happened.
I know.
But it was really, just last it happened week. Right after we recorded.
Yeah, minutes after
the last
we
one. Like minutes after. And we did that jump in thing where I recorded a jump in. On the last pod. But yeah, Harper to the Phillies for $330 million, 13 years. No opt-outs.
Yeah.
No trade clause.
Yeah, in your little, right as it happened thing, you seem confused by like, wow, this is not anywhere near the amount of annual value we thought. Is this good for Bryce? Is it good for, definitely good for Philly.
Yeah.
Gives them flexibility for sure.
I mean, if he becomes a bad baseball player in 5 years, this will be one of the worst contracts in the history of baseball.
Yeah,
but he
no
probably
outs.
Won't. I mean, this probably won't be that. But also, it's $25 million a year is, I mean, it's $5 million. It's like $25.5 million, mm-hmm. right? Let's be clear. So it's about $5 million less than Manny Machado got per year, but for three more years. Would Machado have gotten three more years at $10 million each? Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, for now, he's the highest. It's the biggest contract until Trout signs his next contract. It's the biggest contract in the history of
North America. Yeah, the killer of this one, though, is because it's 13 years, no trade clause, there's no opt-outs. He's going to be a 37, 38, 39, 40-year-old or 39-year-old ball player that, well, by then there will be a DH, so that point is moot. So he will,
and that's right.
You know, it will become, you know, it'll be in place in the National League by then.
Yeah, probably, right?
Yeah, because he's,
I mean,
if
they're
he's
making
not
some
DH-ing,
changes already.
That... Yeah, if he's not DH-ing in 7-8 years, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, they could probably hide him in left field for a little bit. You know, they always mm-hmm. put the less athletic guys in left field. But I like this contract. And the thing that I thought about afterwards, after I made my snarky comments last show, was what if Bryce Harper just didn't want to have to deal with free agency again, and he just wanted to sign with one team for, like, the rest of his career? And, yeah, of course, he gets the biggest contract ever. But there was rumor the Dodgers were offering him, like, $40 million a year for 5 years.
Yeah, I would have jumped all over that.
But, and the math works out that that's the way to go. But maybe Bryce Harper is just a big softy.
It is. I think he is.
Wants to be in one team for the rest. And, like, I mean, if he plays 13 years with the Phillies, he goes into the Hall of Fame as a Philly. This is assuming everything works out, right? Mm-hmm. They get a statue of him out front.
Yeah, it's a good play. But when you think about it, too, the Nationals offered him 10 years, $30 million a year, $300 million. But it was tons of deferred money, and he didn't want that.
Yeah, and this is just like, I think except for the first year, this is basically just $25 million a year mm-hmm. or $26 million a year.
Yeah,
which brings me back to the Arenado contract, by the way, which I'm still pulling my hair out on. Did you know, John, that he gets basically $40 million for the two contract extension years that are guaranteed?
Mm-hmm.
$40 million a year.
Oh, really? These next two seasons?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, no, he gets 35 this, 35 next, and 35 the next,
okay.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But he was only supposed to get 25 this year.
Right.
So they gave him a $10 million raise, and then the next 2 years, it's $35 million a year. The whole contract is 260 over 8 years, but he gets opt-out after 3 years,
right?
Mm-hmm. But they front-loaded the contract.
That's stupid.
It's so stupid. I can't even, like, they basically just decided, you know what we're going to do? We owe him $25 million this year. Good. Next year, we'll give him 40. And then the year after that, we'll give him 40 per year. Like, what advantage have they gained for themselves?
I think the only way that you could look at that in a positive way is or try to rationalize it, is that they're saying that our window to win is in the next 3 years.
But why would they pay him $40 million per year?
To make sure he
wouldn't
go anywhere.
Like, look, I understand pot is legal in Colorado. I get it. But here's the thing. It still has an effect on a person's ability to do mental processing of things. So maybe don't partake in legal substances before you work out a contract with your best player.
Yeah. That's a little bit of a head scratcher. Not
for
Nolan.
And also, this is the same team that signed Daniel. No, of course, Nolan Arenado, they were like, yes, we'll sign. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Before you come to your senses, give me the contract.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. The contract comes down after the opt-out year? The numbers come down? Okay, that sounds great. So we'll be opting out in 3 years. And then what are you going to do then? Give them another $35 million a year.
They probably will.
It may be the dumbest contract extension. No, Ryan Howard is the dumbest contract extension. But this is the second dumbest contract extension I've ever heard of. And this is the same team that signed Ian Desmond for 5 years and whatever, $75 million to play first base, a position he'd never played before. Now he's going to center field. And then because they signed Daniel Murphy, who's a bad defensive first baseman and on the downside of his career. And they're like, oh, you know what we need to do? We need to just, like, let's not let these prospects play. Let's not Ryan McMahon, Garrett Hampson. Let's set them aside.
Right.
And let's bring in these broken down players who are underperforming, and maybe they'll perform better. Maybe the altitude will help with their healing. Or maybe they'll all just get high
and enjoy it.
I think it might be the worst run organization in baseball. The only thing that I love is that they did sign Bud Black as the manager. I think that was, I don't know if that's just dumb luck, but I've always liked him. But what they do with their, like, all the jerking around David Dahl, you know, well, no, we'll send it. We don't want to bring him up. And then all these prospects and then why not get a catcher? Like, while you're right. While you have all these prospects and now you sign Nolan Arenado, like, get rid of your prospects. You have a top 100 third baseman prospect, Colton Welker. Well, where's he going to play?
Right. Trade him. Get a catcher.
You can't put him to first because you have two top 150 first base prospects already. Also, you have Daniel Murphy. And you got to assume they're just going to keep signing like
old people,
free agents on the downside of their careers for too much money to come in and play first base. They're like, we miss overpaying Todd Helton so much. Let's just keep it going, Rockies. Sorry, I know it's not even news, and I just like I did.
Yeah,
like,
it's not even on our list.
This is like a seventh inning stretch thing that we did earlier, but now I'm jumping it in here in the first inning.
First inning rant.
Yeah. All right. So back to Harper. Sorry, back to Harper.
So yeah, one of the things with Harper is the stadium. I think that is the number one reason why he chooses Philly over the Giants. Not the Nationals so much, but that is a bandbox that he's going to put up silly numbers, and he should hit 40 home runs. Yeah.
He should hit 40.
He should be the
on-base percentage, the runs, the RBIs, everything. It'll all be there for the next 13 years.
Yeah. He's going to pile up some serious stats in that ballpark, and that was a huge reason why he went there. But yeah, I think really what they did was, and Boris gets all the credit for, is let's just trust me, Bryce. It'll all come together in the end. You know, it's going to be to your advantage. Just wait, just wait, just wait. And they probably were glad that Machado signed first so that he can get. I mean, at the end of the day, it's $330 million, silly money at that point. It's not a big deal. Trout will make more than that and when he's a free agent, so
I mean, he's got to be $400 million,
easy,
right? Like,
yeah,
that has to be the starting point. The only question is, like, well, how many years is that? Is that 10 years, $400 million,
mm-hmm.
or is it, does he do a 12 year, $500 million? Would you pay that, John? Would you trade? Oof. Would you pay $500 million for the would you trade $500 million for Babe Ruth?
My only concern is that speed declines. So he's going to be entering the declining years of his speed at the front end of this contract. So it's going to affect his game a little bit. He's still going to put up silly numbers. He's still going to be a great defender. But I don't know. His best years will have been behind him by the time he signs this contract, in my opinion.
But what if you're wrong?
I could be.
What if he's Barry Bonds, but without the ballooning head?
He could be. He could be productive until he's 38 years old, 39 years old.
Anyway, I think, that, you know, I know some people get bent out of shape about how much money players make, but no one gets bent out of shape about how much movie stars make.
No.
And these guys are basically movie stars. So, like, if the teams have the money to pay, then let them pay.
Supply and demand.
Charge with the market.
Right.
Exactly. Supply and demand. Now, then we turn around and we see, like, Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell, where apparently teams aren't as excited to spend what those players want. Or at least what they were originally asking for. And they're still sitting out there. It's so weird to see two players so good. And not that Dallas Keuchel is, you know, the Dallas Keuchel of 3 years ago that won the Cy Young. But, like, he's still, like, a two-win player. That's worth $15, $16, $17 million a year for 3 years somewhere.
Right.
The Braves, like, the Braves don't have a full rotation. What are the Braves doing?
Who knows? Great article posted today.
Yeah, Randall did a nice thing on the Braves,
It's like, what the heck are the Braves doing?
Yeah, sitting back, watching the Phillies and the Nationals get better. And I like the Donaldson signing, but that also is a little bit of a crapshoot. Like, that's not like, oh, that solves everything. It's like, well, maybe he's good.
Yeah,
maybe
the injury bug. Is
Josh Donaldson of yore.
Will he get a full, will we see a full year from him?
Yeah.
Well, interesting. It will be interesting to see if Donaldson and Troy Tulowitzki put up like all-star numbers this year and Toronto's scratching their head.
Tulowitzki is not going to put up jack squat, first of all. I listed him as a sleeper pick for the Yankees. Man, that dude ain't going to do anything. He's striking out all the time. He hit that leadoff home run to start things off in spring training, and it's just been like an abyss since. Like, he's Troy Tulowitzki. Like, it doesn't matter how angry he is at the Blue Jays, or the Rockies for dumping him. Like, he's declined in skills because of injuries and age.
Mm-hmm.
No one thinks he's a bad person. He's just a bad baseball player.
His best years are behind him.
Best years are behind him. Of course, he's sort of like the worst case. He's like the, what if this happens to Harper? What if this happens to, you know.
That could be. Because
he used to be an exceptional defender, too.
Well, yeah, even like and Albert Pujols, same thing, you know.
Oof.
Josh Hamilton, same thing. You're signing somebody for what they did in the past and not what they're potentially going to do in their declining years. It's a big gamble. So Artie Moreno will probably throw as much money as he possibly can to keep Trout. But Trout's got to look at it as, we're not winning now. What would make me think that we're going to win for the next 10 years?
Well, I will say the difference between the Angels this year and let's just say 2 years ago is they actually have a top 8 farm system with so many studs.
But pitching? Coming.
Some pitching.
Yeah, mostly hitting, right?
So many studs. Like, all the studs. Like, it's... But, you know, you trade those off and you get pitching. Like, the thing about a bad farm system is it handicaps you every way. Like, the Red Sox, not that it matters because they won the World Series, but, like, they don't have anything to trade, so they can't...
They have to work with what they got. Yeah.
They don't have the ability to say, like, all right, well, we'll send this piece off. Like, this is how they built their team, was they sent pieces off. Manny Margot to the Padres for Craig Kimbrel. You know, this sort of activity allows a team to build. But if you just don't have any farm system, then you can't bring up farm players and you can't trade the assets that you have.
Right.
Or if you're like the Rockies, you have a decent farm system and you just screw it up all the way around completely.
So did the Red Sox get to the point where they start dismantling for the purposes of building up the coffers again?
No. I think what you're going to see is they're going to probably not re-sign Rick Porcello next, because this is his last year. And they're going to have to make a couple of tough choices on, because they have a bunch of these guys become free agents at the end of next season. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they're going to stay competitive. I think this year, next year, the Yankees overtake them a little bit while, you know, they retool or whatever. But, you know, Chris Sale, David Price, Nate Eovaldi, Eduardo Rodriguez, who, if he could stay healthy, he would be a top 25 starter. It's a big if on the injury, but it's a deep team. Of course, the offense, best offense in baseball, you know what I mean? So, and that's with some, you know, black holes of offense at catcher and second base. And
so do you believe Bryce Harper, do you believe Mike Trout saying that he hasn't thought at all about his contract?
I think when Mike Harper and Bryce Trout
play together in the same team,
we'll just call him
Brout.
Yeah. Is that what it is? Brout. Okay. I think when Trout sees this contract, sees Manny's contract, he thinks, that's a good starting point.
Right.
Like, okay, so it's going to be about 20% more than that, probably. Maybe more. I think that's what he just thinks, like, I'm just the best player in baseball. Do I think he goes around, like, acting like he's the best player in baseball? No. Yeah. I just think he probably knows he's the best player in baseball. And it's just kind of like, all right, good. So 330 for 13. All right.
Yeah, he doesn't come across as having any attitude, any ego at all.
Just, and he says, like, I haven't thought about it. But, of course, he's thought, like, oh, okay, 330. So that's where it starts. I'll get more than that.
Yeah, and it's not like he's not making good money now. So it's not it's not
like... He's the highest paid position player, or he was last year the highest paid position player.
He's not like some of these guys that, or for example, Snell wins the Cy Young and gets a $15,000 pay hike. So that's a reason to be a little bit concerned. There's been a half a dozen of those type of players. And wasn't Mookie Betts one of those players a couple years ago? Got a little tiny bump up after.
Well, always in the first year, they do like the tiny bump.
Right.
And then the second year, they do, like, if they want to do like a show of good faith, they'll do the big bump. Like, they'll do it up to a million. They're like, oh, it's a record setting second year deal.
Still a steal.
It's still a steal. And honestly, they just need to double the league minimum. Let's just double it. There's enough money. Double the league minimum. Also, like, you should be, if you win the Cy Young Award, and I'm not saying like it should be depend on that, but like, if you perform that well, there should be ways to show that, like, oh, okay, so instead of a $10,000 raise, you deserve a $50,000 raise.
Right, right. Well, it's like with the Home Run Derby now. They're offering cash prizes to incentivize players to participate. That makes sense.
Right.
So incentivize players to win awards. But one of the things that Snell said is that...
Wait, are they offering unlimited donuts? Lifetime donuts. Supply of donuts?
No, but Snell said he's now more motivated to go out and be even better. He said, you know, it's kind of like I'll show them. But he's like, I understand it's the business of baseball. He didn't sound like he was, angry. He sounded like he was disappointed. But
he shouldn't be either of those things. He should just be like, this is the contract that I signed,
right,
and I'm going to honor the contract.
Right. Unlike in other sports, where football in particular, it's like, well, I signed a contract 2 years ago, and I want to renegotiate that contract, so I'm going to sit out,
right,
and I'm going to wait until you give me more money.
Right, and like baseball, you just don't have that issue, but then you also have the issue of Albert Pujols' contract being guaranteed.
And it's funny.
No matter if he's a zero wins above replacement player, like...
And baseball is in, I would say, kind of like the golden era for young talent. Young talent is you're seeing guys right out of high school and college that are ready to play pro ball.
Yeah.
Not just a handful. Quite a few people are ready. And baseball is like, well, we've got to honor the contracts of the aged and decrepit that we're paying. We can't just, let them go. And
well, that's one of the things that's so frustrating about the Braves. You know, they don't have any of those contracts.
No.
They have no, like, weird, bad contracts that they're still paying off. And they're the only team in baseball that had Matt Kemp on their team and isn't still paying him.
Right. Kemp gets a whole bunch of checks.
This year he'll get checks from the Padres, Dodgers, and the Reds.
Wow. Yeah, it's good to be... I guess.
He signed a bad contract, right? Well,
for him, it was a good contract.
For him, it was a great contract.
Right. Yeah, from the player's point of view, Chris Davis, I love my contract. It was awesome.
Yeah.
David Price, although he kind of earned it back a little bit last year, love my contract. It's great.
David Price earned every penny of that contract in the playoffs last year, win a World Series. It reminds me very much of the J.D. Drew contract that the Red Sox had.
Mm-hmm.
He hit that grand slam off the Indians in the ALCS, and like, that's it. That's your $42 million contract right there. You don't have to do anything else.
Right.
That led them to the World Series. That got them into the World Series. They won the World Series. Like, that's all you wanted him for. You wanted him to do that once.
Oh, it was just like,
he did it.
The pitcher, and I'm drawing a blank, was with the A's, signed with the Giants. Number 7 is Barry Zito. Zito,
okay.
Horrible contract.
Right.
But then earns it.
One of the worst.
Yeah, and then earns it in that one postseason.
Right.
Helps him,
And that's all that matters.
Yeah. He redeemed himself. But yeah, that was a silly contract. That was what, $127 million back?
It was, way it was back. One of those ones where when he signed it, people were like, no, that's too
bad.
Much.
That's bad. Yeah. So the Phillies say they sold 180,000 tickets in the few days after Harper signed. That's a big boost to the box office.
This is the difference between Harper and Machado.
Mm-hmm.
Is I don't think the Padres sold an extra 200,000 tickets.
No.
Since, even still.
I've seen Padres fans just blasting the Padres for signing him.
It's such a great signing for them, though.
Yeah, like, it's a good fit.
It's a really unintelligent Padre fan, and I know I'm being redundant when I say that. It's a really unintelligent Padre fan that thinks that that's a bad deal when, like, that's the one position they're not stacked at is third base.
I think most people look at it from an attitude point of view. And, as much as I hated Pete Rose, I would want 9 Pete Roses on my team.
Right.
Because he's a good ball player,
Right. Also, you're guaranteed to win money off him gambling.
Right. Just get the inside tips from Pete. What are you, who are you going on today? Pete, let me know. Keep me in the loop. So do you believe the news that Kershaw and Seager will be ready for opening day?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
No, I think Seager will be ready-ish, meaning they'll do like 4 games a week for him. Like, he still isn't playing games yet where he's throwing the ball across the diamond. Like, that.
That's a big part of baseball.
Throw. Yeah, it's a big part of playing shortstop. Mm-hmm. If there was a DH, I would say yes, he's starting. Right. He'll be in every game. But I think they're sort of like ease him into it. They don't want to, you know, the Dodgers do play the long game. They do.
Right. There's no reason to hurry him. Really?
Exactly. And there's no reason to hurry Kershaw because, look, if you get 160 innings out of Kershaw this year, you're golden.
Mm-hmm.
So you take it easy with him. You know, they bring in Ross Stripling or, you know, I know people are all excited about Julio Urias, who looks fantastic, but you know, I'm not sure he's ready to start. He's still, what, 20?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 21. But Ross Stripling is an excellent pitcher. He's a top 3 pitcher on any other team, except maybe like the Indians or whatever. But this is a very good pitcher that could just step in and be almost as good as Kershaw.
That's saying a lot about how far Kershaw has fallen now.
No. Like, I'm not saying he replaces Kershaw. I'm just saying he fills in for him.
Right.
Like, the team still has to score runs, you know? Right. Like,
yeah, they're
going to score runs.
They're stacked. It's not like a it's not like the Angels losing Mike Trout for the season,
right?
That pretty much they're dead in the water.
Right.
The Dodgers are fortunate enough that they have tons of pieces, minor league and whatever they need, they can go out and get. So yeah.
they have a top 8 farm system as well. Like they are loaded. For this year, they have pieces to trade off. The hell, they got 2 of the 2 best catching prospects in baseball are on the Dodgers.
Yeah, I'd seen something a couple weeks ago about Alex Verdugo basically saying, I don't know what else I have to do.
Right.
And he was like, you know, apparently, and I didn't know that much about his background, he's one of those cocky guys.
Yeah, I mean, he's put up the numbers. And the problem with him has, I think, been his age.
Mm-hmm.
He's just done too well at too young an age. And he's on the Dodgers. If he was on the Indians, would be their starting right fielder. Right. Like, he would have been the starting right fielder last year, into the playoffs, whatever. But the Dodgers are just so loaded. And also, what is this thing the Dodgers keep doing every year where they're like, hey, oh, we just found Chris Taylor off the scrap.
Yeah, why did they
do that? And now he's a 3-win player. And oh, look, here's this fellow Max Muncy. He's a 4-win player.
Right. So that's crazy. As a minor league prospect, you have to be going like, enough. Give me a break.
Right.
Or trade me.
Yeah.
You know, as when you're that hungry, you're like, trade me to the Marlins. I'll play every day. And that's really what they're looking for, is the opportunity to play every day, as opposed to, you know, coming up in May and getting a cup of coffee, sent back down, and coming back up in July for, you know, some rest period for the All-Star break for some guys, and then coming up at the call-up at the end of September 1st, and, okay, another year gone.
Yeah.
They want to play. I say flip the economics. Stop paying these ridiculous contracts to late 20s, early 30 players, and start paying the kids. Get the kids out there. So let's see. What else we got? We got some injuries to top prospects. Vlad Guerrero Jr. has a lat strain, which is, you know, fortunate for the Blue Jays.
How convenient.
How convenient. So they don't have to deal with all of the hubbub about why isn't this kid up here. So he's definitely shelved till probably end of April.
Right. So he's probably going to miss enough days so that when they are ready to bring him up, he gets whatever doesn't get the arbitration, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
His clock doesn't start clicking or whatever.
And Joe Adell, top prospect with the Angels, gets a double whammy.
Yes.
So he, hamstring and
left
ankle?
Pulled left hamstring, sprained right ankle.
So at least he balanced it out.
I'm going to be honest with you,
John.
How
do you limp on both
sides? Sounds a lot more like me than Joe Adell.
How do you limp on both sides? I don't know. That's going to be tough. Now, that's unfortunate, though. Because he's pretty close, right? He's up this year, you think?
I mean, he was supposed to start at Double A, right? And they have been jumping players from Double A, so he is still possible to make the jump this year. Like, because you get in the outfield, you got Trout, Upton and what's his name? Cole Calhoun, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Calhoun struggles a little bit.
Right.
You know, Adele's lighting up double A. I could see them bringing him up. Sure. I mean, he's right-handed, so it makes them even more right-handed. But maybe, you know, maybe they bring him up. Because you want to time it right. You don't want to bring him up just so he's, like, playing every fifth day. You want to bring him up so it's
he's
like
playing,
he hits the
ground right.
running.
Yeah, that's does
and now
no
he's
good.
The right fielder.
Yeah, because that's the standard line from managers and GMs. Well, he needs to be playing every day. So he's going to get that everyday play in the minors. He won't get that in the majors.
Right.
And fans, as much as they hem and haw and talking heads hem and haw, who cares? You know, as from the team management point of view, they're not going to be influenced by outside, you know, rants and raves about who should be or shouldn't be playing on a specific timetable. But we'll see who comes up. I always find that exciting as to when these kids come up and they do well. Like, they're ready. Right. They're ready to play.
Yeah, there's a whole string of them. There's Eloy Jimenez. He should be up.
Yeah, he and Dylan Cease both sent down yesterday. Big surprise.
Yeah. Who's the other one that should be up that's exciting? Kyle Tucker for the Astros. Mm-hmm. He came up last year for a little bit and was a bit unlucky with the batting average on balls in play. But he's another super exciting player that's ready to go. Fernando Tatis Jr. should be coming up this year, mid-season. And then they'll move, what's the guy there? Luis Urias, is that his name?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Move him from short over to second.
That's going to be an awesome left side of the diamond.
I mean, Tatis Jr. has been killing the ball in spring training. He's a good defender. So Padres have a good core. It looks like Chris Paddock might start the season on the team.
Yeah, he might be the opening day starter.
Turn of events.
That's crazy. Crazy talk. So Salvador Perez undergoing Tommy John surgery. So there goes the Royals' hopes. The inkling. Well, they're 500, over 500 spring training. They're raking.
Oh, okay. Is that how the numbers translate?
Yeah, it's an indicator. Yes, we all know how indicators work because what's his name, the first baseman for the Yankees, hit 7 home runs last spring training and then didn't play pretty much the whole year.
Yes, your guy.
Yeah, I held
Greg
on to him,
Bird.
Yeah, Greg Bird. 2 years, I held out hope.
Yeah,
not anymore.
But in classic style, this will be the year he hits and everyone's like, "Oh, come on."
Can't wait for that to happen.
back to Sal Perez. Oh, Sal Perez. So what I thought was interesting about this was, like, this guy has been Mr. Durability, mm-hmm. right? And, like, beginning of last season, he had knee sprain? Like, but they've been running this guy out for, like, 150 games a year at catcher.
Wear and tear, definitely. Caught up.
Did he get paid? Does he have money? Is this one of those sad baseball stories where...
I don't know. I think he's beyond that.
He's probably been paid, right?
Yeah,
he's probably gotten a contract. All right, good. So then the Royals added Martin Maldonado mm-hmm. or Martin Maldonado,
yeah, who sat around forever. No one wanted him.
Yeah,
which was a
sat around waiting for a catcher to get injured,
right, which is the case. So, you know, Kimbrel and Keuchel are thinking the same thing. Who's gonna have an injury in the next week? That still is baffling that those two haven't landed somewhere.
I can't. The only thing I can think is that maybe Keuchel turned down an extension a couple years ago, and he would have to make, I heard someone say he would have to make something like $63 million over the next 3 years to make up the money that they turned down.
Oof.
I'm not sure I see that contract out there for him.
No, ain't happening.
And so then what do you do when you're one of those guys?
You cry all the way.
What do you do with a drunken sailor?
Yeah, you cry all the way to the bank because, you know, you're going to be making $40 million instead of $60 million over 3 years.
I mean, it's obscene money still, but, like, you look at Kimbrel and the stories came out on him right away that it was like he wants 6 years and $100 million. And his agent did not come out in the press and say, that's not what we're looking for,
right,
even if it was. And so everyone was like, oh, well, I'm not going to sign a closer to especially someone who's $100 million.
The eye test didn't indicate it was worth it, especially in the second half of the season.
I mean, it seemed like the going rate is like $13, $14 million a year for 3 years. Yeah. Maybe for Kimbrel, he's a Hall of Famer, $15 million for 3 years, 4 years. Yeah. That's it, dude.
Yeah.
That's it. You're not going to break the bank. Not in the smarter baseball world that currently exists.
So where do those two land?
I have no idea. Honestly, I haven't heard any rumors. Mm-mm. I think they should both wind up on the Braves. I think they should both wind up on the Twins. The Twins and Braves both have money from last year. Right.
The Braves aren't spending. The Braves. If I'm a Braves fan, I'm scratching my head, going like, "We surprised everybody, including our fan base, by making winning the NL East. And what are we doing to maintain that pace?" And everybody else passed them by. The Mets, Phillies, and Nationals all are going to be potentially better than the Braves.
It sounds like their strategy is to hope that the Nationals, Phillies, and Mets underperform again.
Right. Because that's a big part of it. I think, sorry, Braves fans, to let you down, but the Nationals way underperformed last year. That added like a half a dozen wins to you guys. So. Right. Yeah, I don't see the Braves having any. They're what, picked at 84 wins? Is it 84?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's about what they could hope for, should hope for. But I think it was Randall that said if they pick up those two players, they're at 88 and they're sniffing the playoffs.
Exactly.
So yeah, we'll see how that all plays out.
I mean, it's all projections and stuff, so like maybe it's not. Whatever, but like it's still like the projections do have a tendency to work,
right?
Tendency to be accurate, and then there's other things that factor in. But like, don't you want to just put yourself in the best position? Like, Fultonewicz, whatever you pronounce his name, Fulty. is having some arm trouble. Gausman is a solid number three, but who's your guy? Who's your anchor? Keiko would be a perfect anchor. Mm-hmm. He's a number two, number three guy. He's got playoff experience, which does count for something.
Right. Well, I heard that.
And what are you going to do? Just cycle through these prospects that you have, hoping that one of them hits? No, that's not how you do it.
No. So we'll see. There's still a little bit of time left.
Of course, that is exactly what they did last year, and it worked. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, so maybe they're...
To be fair. Yeah,
seeing if it'll happen again. King Felix, first time in 10 years, isn't going to be the opening day starter for the Mariners, and he's not happy about it. I don't know why, because he was horrible last year, but I don't know what he made some sort of a comment like, after everything that I've done, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
I mean, isn't that exactly why they aren't starting him?
Right.
Because it's after everything that he's done?
Right. So there was a column in a local paper up in Seattle that pretty much solidifies that he won't be back next year because his contract is up after this season.
I mean, this dude needs to reinvent himself.
He does.
I think he is not a Hall of Famer yet. He needs to log another 5 years to really put up the numbers necessary to be a Hall of Famer. But everything is going so far south so quickly. But he needs to go to like Driveline Baseball and reinvent his spin rate
Well, the big thing with him,
go to a trainer and like get down to like 2% body fat.
Yeah, his best pitch is the off speed, the changeup.
Right.
And when you're throwing 93, 94 and you drop down to 86, 85, 87 sometimes, there's a big difference. But when your fastball is topping out at 89, there is no difference.
Yeah. So yeah, it's that, Jared Weaver. Right. Remember him? He was 85-mile-an-hour fastball, 84-mile-an-hour changeup.
Right. So he doesn't have that advantage anymore. So that's he's got to redefine it. He's got to become Greg Maddux, picking the corners and being more of a pitcher than a thrower. He can't rely on deception anymore. He has to be pinpoint accurate. So we'll see. He's not happy, but he said he wasn't going to say anything else other than that one comment, which was more than enough because it was headlines for days, in Seattle. So is this reportedly dropping or do we know?
They're dropping it.
They're dropping it. The August 31st waiver deadline is no more.
Is no more. Starting this year, it's just the July 31st deadline. That's it. So that is the trade deadline.
Nice. So that's that.
You will not be able to trade players after that deadline.
So that's cool because that means there will be even more activity.
Yeah.
During the trade season. Good. That's great.
And it's far enough from the end of the season that you'll get the more teams will be like, no, we can't wait and see how we're doing.
Right.
We have to commit now to the end of the season. So
that's good for fans too, because if a team's
good for
close,
everybody.
Yeah. Players, good for everybody. Good for everybody. All around. I think that's exciting. And they're adding a 26th man to the roster next year, not this
next,
year.
Next year they add a 26th man, which to me opens the door to the DH switching or being added to the National League. But it's a, you know, it's one more player. This is good for the union because now you've got 30 more players on each team that are making the league minimum, at least.
Hopefully not middle relievers or clopeners.
Well, there's a limit on the starters now, or number of pitchers per roster. Yeah, so it'll be a 26-man roster with a 13-pitcher limit.
Okay, interesting.
Because the idea was they wanted to add the spot because, you know, pitchers are being used more.
Right.
But also, like, you need to have more position players, but because everyone's using pitchers so much, but they didn't want people to just say, all right, good, well, let's add another pitcher.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I think next year they haven't – this isn't confirmed, but they are – it does look like they're going to switch the injured list from 10 back to 15 days.
Oh, look at you calling it the injured list. I'm impressed.
It's very difficult for me to say the injured
list. I first saw on the ESPN fantasy baseball board, and it had something like I saw IL. I'm like, what the heck is that? It took me a second to kind of.
They send him to Illinois?
Right. Wow. They have a rehab center in Illinois?
It was really not like him. Right. No offense, just, people from Illinois.
No, it was just weird to see it that way. It's just, that's going to be one that'll be tough to adapt to. I'll be calling it the DL forever. What's this guy's name? I'm drawing a blank. Giant CEO, Ba, or something like that.
Yeah, Bear or whatever.
Bear, yeah. So he has this big throwdown with his wife that's caught on video. He comes across as looking like a jerk, but we don't know all of the circumstances behind it. And at first it was all rosy. His wife was saying, you know, we're embarrassed, but we love each other. And then he takes a leave of absence.
Right.
So,
well, I think he has to, right? Because like the wife says that, but like, is it still domestic violence? And like, what is the dumb luck? Look, hey, everyone that's been married knows that sometimes things get a little heated.
Right.
Right. But apparently they were fighting over a cell phone or something. And then she says she lost her balance.
Well, it didn't look like that in the video. It looked like he was
this
trying.
This is what she says.
Right.
And it sounds, you know, he got too forceful, but then like, how is someone filming this?
Yeah, why?
And how does someone film it and know that it's him? That's not fair.
Same guy that followed them to Vegas.
Right. He's
following him around.
Maybe they thought they were going to meet with Bryce Harper.
So they're on the watch. Wow. Yeah. That just doesn't look good. Total embarrassment. That could, you know, hopefully it doesn't turn into something that becomes a, you know, peeling back the onion that there is abuse there. That's just horrible.
Right. And also, hopefully he doesn't get Twitter mobbed. You know what I mean? And like, he has forced to resign because he had this one altercation with his wife. Now, if there's 8 altercations with his wife,
that's a different story.
That's a different story. Yeah. But come on, a one-time thing. Yes, it's inappropriate. Make amends, make a public statement, apologize.
Do the work you have to do to be a better person, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of being a better person, one time, major league, I would say standout pitcher with the Texas Rangers and the Oakland A's, Esteban Loaiza.
Pirates too, right?
Pirates a little bit too, yeah.
We used to call him Steve Loaiza.
Gets a 3-year prison sentence for cocaine trafficking.
You know, normally a player his age doesn't get a 3-year deal.
Yeah, so how does that happen, though? I'm still, you know, amazed by people who are playing sports, making good
millions.
Money, and then they turn to a life of crime.
Well, maybe they want to keep making millions.
The lure of easy money has a very strong appeal?
I guess, you know. Also, maybe he just likes cocaine, you know.
Could be.
Spreading the good word.
The mighty, I wouldn't say he was mighty, but he did have a, I think he, like,
he was solid.
He finished he second in Cy Young 1 year.
Did he?
I think he did, yeah.
That
he
feels like a mistake.
No, he was up there. He had like three,
No, the
four,
voting, not that you, that he was there.
3 or 4 years where he was a really good pitcher.
Yeah.
Top 15, solid. 20 pitcher in baseball.
Yeah. Steve.
So Steve, I don't know. Wiser. I don't, yeah, Stevie. I don't know anything about this next story, so you're going to have to help me. Matthew Boyd helps prevent child trafficking. How do you do that?
Yeah, this guy, let's switch gears from Esteban Loaiza. Matthew Boyd, pitcher for the Detroit Tigers, has been like working with international organizations to help rescue child trafficking victims, children being sold into like sex slavery and stuff. And this guy is like, this is his off-season thing.
He's amazing. He's Liam Neeson and Taken.
It's a little bit like Taken, yeah.
He's like, I'm going to take him back.
He gets them into these like safe houses. And
wow.
Like, I don't know if he does it specifically himself. Like, that would be totally amazing if he was like,
I will find
you. Busting down the doors like Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly. He has a particular set of skills.
That's good. That's a good.
Thank you.
Good impression. I liked it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so he's, but this is just such a great thing. I mean, obviously, it's terrible that there's still trafficking in the world and blah, blah, blah. But what a great thing for someone to get involved in. And really nice to see someone doing something good with their, you know, with their position, with mm-hmm. their influence, mm-hmm. with their money. I love it.
And last but not least, the nuptials of the year. A-Rod engaged to J-Lo. How exciting. Tainted a little bit by some controversial statements from Jose Canseco, but
Jose Canseco immediately jumps on the internet and starts telling everyone that Alex Rodriguez has been cheating on Jennifer Lopez with Canseco's ex-wife.
Yeah,
is that
from,
what it was?
Yeah, he was married to her in the late 90s.
Okay.
So he's still connected to her in some way, shape, or form. Her Twitter response was fantastic because she's basically said, I don't know what he's talking about. He's a liar. Go back to your aliens.
Right, because Canseco has been sort of dabbling in the alien stuff.
So
some of the more outrageous alien stuff, by the way. Not the whether or not there's UFOs.
Right, he's a little Looney Tunes.
Yes.
He is definitely Looney Tunes. So I guess that's, you know, it's a baseball story because of A-Rod, but, you know.
Yeah. And Canseco's a baseball guy.
Yeah, he is. You know.
And aliens. Everyone loves aliens.
Yeah, so I guess it's a bigger story than I first thought.
Yeah.
So that wraps up headlines. Let's go on to starting nine and a little bit of sad news. Last, I think it was end of, or early last week, the passing of Luke Perry from 90210 fame. And
yes.
What was the show?
Cultural Icon.
Yeah. I never watched the show, so I wasn't a huge fan. But he was on a show just recently, right?
Yeah, Riverdale.
Riverdale. It came out of nowhere, kind of sad.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's how strokes basically work, is they do just come out of nowhere. And it's so, I mean, obviously it's sad when something like that happens to anyone. I think he's, what, 52?
Yeah,
so
younger than us. Or younger than us. Younger than me.
Yeah, let's...
You're like, whoa, slow down.
Let's slow down there, Chief. Yeah, so, you know, I'm sure his family, you know, thoughts and prayers to his family and friends, and it's always tough to lose someone unexpectedly like that. And anyway, so we're going to do a little tribute, Luke Perry TV shows and movies mixed with current Major League Baseball player names, the starting nine for Luke Perry. With his first real working gig, Miguel Sanother World.
Okay, I didn't even know that.
He was on Another World,
wow.
Yeah. Back when actors could start on soaps and then move mm-hmm. on to stuff. So you can't really do that now. But the whole dynamic of who can be on TV and stuff has changed. It used to be like a movie star would never want a TV show.
Right.
It would be so embarrassing. And now it's
okay.
The opposite. They like the 22 weeks of steady work and high pay, and it's easy work. It's a lot easier than making a movie. And moving on, Riverdale, we got Alex Riverdugovale.
That's
right?
Good. Yeah.
No, Riverdugovale.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. Next, Buffy the Tommy Vampire Slayer.
Nice. Very nice.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I preferred the movie over the TV show. Marcel Oz Una.
Oh, I didn't know he was in that show.
He was on Oz, yeah, wow, for a couple seasons.
He was pretty relevant.
Yeah, I mean, he's done... I'm only listing the ones that I have seen or have seen parts of.
My favorite Luke Perry movie, Fifth Element.
Well, that's the next one. Oh. Jacoby the Fifth Elsementbury.
Good. He's only in it for 5 minutes, but that's my favorite Luke Perry movie.
Yeah. That is a fantastic film, and he has a nice little role at the beginning. Jeremiah Jeffress.
Okay.
From the TV show Jeremiah.
Got it.
Next one, the first film he did after he gained success in 90210, Kirby Yates Eckens.
Eight seconds.
Right.
It was a bull riding, right?
Bull riding, yes. Another little known HBO show, John from Troy Mancini Cincinnati.
That was a brief foray. That was a one season and done. Very strange.
Yeah. And finally, everyone knows him from this, Beverly Hills, Andrew Benin, Ben 90210D. See, 90210, 90210.
That was good. 10D.
Ben 90210D.
That was good. I like
Andrew Benin 10D. All right. Great. Rest in peace, Luke Perry.
Okay. Well done. So next up, we got Around the Horn.
Let's do it.
That's the next mega contract that each team is going to sign?
Yeah, like what player on each team is the next? Is their next mega contract?
Okay.
What team? What player on each team is the next player to get a mega contract?
Okay, and they're going to be the young guys. So let's whip through these. Braves. That one's an easy one.
Acuna.
Yes.
Easy.
Mets, probably an easy one too.
DeGrom.
Yes. Phillies. They don't have anybody, do they?
Does Bryce Harper count?
I guess.
Let's say Rhys Hoskins.
Okay. Yeah. Nationals.
Soto.
Yes. Marlins, take your pick.
Oh, this might be the hardest one. Who could
be too many young guys, unproven young guys.
An absolute
Anderson?
Super, super duper star.
He's putting up numbers in minor
leagues. I'm looking in there. I'm even scanning through their minor leagues in my head. Maybe Victor Mesa. Maybe. That's.
Yeah.
Brinson? What a great name that is. We're going to say pass.
Okay. Red Sox.
Mookie Betts.
Yankees.
Gleyber Torres. No, Aaron Judge, of course.
Oh, yeah. Big numbers. Blue Jays, got a bunch.
Yeah, let's say Vladimir Guerrero.
Okay. Orioles, that's a complete unknown. Could be the worst team in the history of baseball.
I will say Yusnel Diaz.
Okay. The catcher?
He's a good stash in keeper leagues. He's an outfielder. He's not going to be a mega contract, but he could. I mean, DL Hall, he's a hot pitcher they've got, but I don't know.
They could lose 120 games this year.
It's not a good team.
No, not a good team.
John, it's not a good team.
The Rays.
Let's say Wander Franco. He's in the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. Basically, by June, he'll be the number one prospect in baseball.
Pirates.
Jameson Taillon's probably going to get a big deal. Mm-hmm. Let's say Jameson Taillon.
Cardinals.
Goldschmidt will probably get a big deal. That's kind of cheating a little bit, but he is on their team.
Yeah. Cubs.
Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
I think of all their guys, that's probably the best baseball play.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also Baez and Rizzo. There's no pitchers to worry about overpaying. So
they've already overpaid a few of them.
Yeah.
Brewers.
Yelich.
Yep.
Is this his last year? Is this his walk year?
No, I think he has one more.
Or is it even two more, actually?
He signed a 7-year deal.
It's not a two more. Sorry.
Reds.
The Reds. They already got Joey Votto locked up, so the best... I mean, I think Puig's going to re-sign with him. I don't know if it's going to be a mega contract, but I could see them signing him for something like $18 million a year for 5 years, something like that.
I That's love mega the, this, his story that he's so happy there.
Oh, my God. He's like, and the
he's
town's
the king.
Heated up.
He's the king of Cincinnati.
Yeah, I love it.
It's awesome. Awesome story. Most people would be like, I can't believe I went from the Dodgers to the Reds. And he's like, I'm out of the limelight. I'm out of the pressure cooker. I'm just going to have a lot of fun in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Let's move on to the American League West. Astros.
Okay, Astros. Correa is probably going to get a mega deal. But is he going to get like a mega deal?
I think this year will
determine it, right? Yeah. Then it's Bregman. Beyond him, it's Bregman.
Bregman has a chance to break the bank.
Yeah.
Angels.
Trout.
Yes, no brainer. Rangers. This one's a little tougher.
Oof. They don't have anyone.
Yeah, they're the.
I mean, unless somehow Gallo figures out how to stop striking out.
Right. Yeah. The A's. We got a few.
Do they, though? Do they have someone who's worth like a $150, $200 million contract? Who?
Olson?
Maybe, but that's a first base. Like, that's a position that.
Chapman?
I mean, if Chapman can keep growing as a hitter and keep that insanely good defense, then there you have a Nolan Arenado, basically.
Mariners.
We had the same trouble. We were trying to figure out who is even on this team.
Right. It changes daily.
I'm going to say pass. I don't think that they have that player yet.
Yeah. Padres.
Tatis Jr.
Mm-hmm. Dodgers.
Mega contract for the Dodgers. Bellinger.
Okay. Giants.
Yeah. They do not have a player on their team.
Rockies.
So obviously Nolan Arenado is the guy. Mm-hmm. Dahl could be, if Dahl could stay healthy and keep developing, that is an insanely good hitter who's a good defender in a perfect environment. Right. But then maybe they just spend the money on the pitching, and keep a German Marquez, Mm-hmm. German Marquez is such an interesting guy because, like, I'm not saying he figured out Coors Field, but he's just so good that he's able to outdo Coors Field. Mm-hmm. And when he's on the road, his stuff is even better. Right. But he's worth having in fantasy baseball teams. I know some people are backed off because he's a Rocky, and it's hard to trust a Rocky pitcher. But if you can adjust your roster so you don't have to play him against the Dodgers in Coors Field, and you can play him, the Padres come to town or the Marlins come to town, and you can he's starting like, I'll start him against the Marlins at Coors Field. Because the strikeout numbers, the swing and miss on his pitches is just, it's through the roof. Mm-hmm. I mean, if this guy would be a top 20 fantasy baseball player, top 25 player, if he wasn't in Coors Field. That's how good he is.
Impressive. How about the D-backs?
They got rid of everything, right?
They don't have it. No.
They don't have a guy yet. I mean, they have a couple of Jazz Chisholm and Christian Robinson, right? Those are the future of the team. But those guys are each 2 or 3 years away from even showing up on the team. Mm-hmm.
Here's another one, Tigers.
Mm. I mean, I like Christian Stewart a lot, but he's never going to make – he's deal. A DH, so he's never going to make a mega thing. Daz Cameron is looking sexy in spring training, but I don't think they have a guy that – gets a mega deal. Well, you know what? Let's say Casey Mize. Casey Mize, who they drafted last year, and we're talking like 7 years from now, he'll get a mega deal. But everyone is in love with Casey Mize. He's done well in his pro debut. They're excited. He could be the guy.
Okay. Indians?
Lindor.
Twins.
Man, I want it to be Buxton so bad, but I just don't think that's. They extended Kepler and Polanco, right? Mm-hmm.
Is Barrio potentially that guy?
I mean, Barrios could be like mega, like $25 million a year? I don't know. He would have to just explode.
But he still has upside, so.
He does have upside. He does. He showed signs last year of just being like, wow, this guy is legit. Mm-hmm. But then there were other games where it was like, who this dude? Right.
White Sox, they have a few.
Eloy Jimenez. I mean, I want it to be Yoan Moncada, but he just can't figure out that strike stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's much better in a on-base percentage context than a batting average context. Power, speed, on-base percentage. But he does strike out just a little too much to be a $25 million a year guy. But I could see Eloy Jimenez. Eloy Jimenez is one of the top 20 hitters in the American League right now in the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he'll be up.
He's going to be awesome. He'll be up by May.
Yep. And last but not least, the Royals. Do they have anybody?
I don't think that they really have anyone, though you could squint and see if Mondesi can figure out the strikes, you could see him getting one of those big contracts. 6 years, $150 million.
Yeah, he's got to fix that on-base percentage. If he can figure out the strikeouts. Yeah.
If he can get that on-base percentage up to like 330 instead of
40. It's a long way to go.
It is a long way to go, but, you know, Baez did it last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Baez did it. You can strike out and still get walks.
Right. That's okay.
And if he gets on base.
It's a different
story. If he hits 250, 260 and gets on base 330 with 20 home runs and 50, 60 stolen bases, like that's a guy that's worth $25 million.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So that was truly around the horn. That was a quick one. Yeah. Made it through the whole league in
trying to speed it up a little bit on the around the horn instead of lingering.
Last but not least, extra innings. Taking a look at what's happening outside the world of baseball. I know nothing about this, so you'll have to fill me in on this one. The U.S. women's team sued the Soccer Federation, alleging gender discrimination.
Yeah, so apparently the men's soccer team is paid more, gets better travel accommodations and stuff than the women do, and it's strange because it's like is it gender discrimination, or is it that the males have to be paid more? Because the women's soccer team is light years better than the men's soccer team. Like the men's soccer team could not exist and no one would even really know. Right. Whereas the women's soccer team
actually wins.
Is like wins. Right. They actually win games and win cups.
Yeah.
And so. But if you're saying like, well, you really have to compare how the women are paid compared to how other women are paid on other soccer teams, right? That's part of the mathematics here, because the men have to be paid compared to how men are paid on other soccer teams. Like you wouldn't get any male players out if you were paying them far less than.
Yeah, but when you pull them out of the leagues that they're in and you say one's performing and one isn't, I can see that case, but that's out of context.
Yeah. But there's a lot of factors. I'm curious to see where it goes. I could see, you know, it being decided in the women's favor. I mean, they are a much more successful team, but does that mean more money for the league? That's always the question, right? Like, does it mean that they're making more money? And then what does that mean in terms of who should get paid what? And so it'll be nice and ugly and, you know, more things for people to be upset about or not upset about.
We'll have to follow that closely.
We'll follow it closely, John.
So big news in football. We had some it's the official free agent season and trade season. So a lot of activity going on. And basically the Steelers have lost two of their most important players, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. Brown, I'm excited. He's going to the Raiders. I'm a Raiders fan, although I haven't admitted it much in recent years. So I'm excited about that, but I'm concerned about Derek Carr declining. Yeah. So it is going to be interesting to see if the Raiders draft a quarterback.
Well, apparently Brown was on his way to Buffalo in a trade.
Yeah, what happened there? Like, it just blew up.
No thanks. I'm not going to Buffalo.
I could see that.
And honestly, can you blame him?
No.
So then he gets traded to the Raiders, works out a contract, highest paid receiver.
But it was a steal for the Raiders. They didn't give up much.
They did not have to pay much to get that quality of a player. No. That's true.
So that was a benefit.
It's a nice move. And then the question is, do they have the pieces around that piece makes a difference? I don't think so. But I think more than any sport, NFL free agency can really turn a team around.
Sure.
Because I think there's a core level of ability that every team has already. And then it just becomes a question of, are you getting the few pieces you need? Pieces, mm-hmm. not just Antonio Brown, but pieces. And then mix that with the coaching. And that's why you see like the Patriots have been so successful. Sure. Because they have great coaching. They keep Tom Brady and they
lose pieces every year to free agency and they still win.
Yeah.
But there's some big names. Yeah. Odell Beckham Jr., after signing a mega contract last year with the Giants that looked like it would keep him there for 5 years, is traded to the Browns, which makes the Browns rebel. I love that Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham potential hookup. That's could be exciting next year.
When I was dating a lot, when I'd have girlfriends, this is how I wish I could get rid of them at the end, is just trade them to Cleveland. Though in my mind, sort of metaphorically, I always sort of imagined that's what they were doing. They were being traded from New York. I was the New York, and they were being traded to Cleveland. Yeah.
And Bell signs with the Jets. So that was a big signing for the Jets. And although he was under the impression that sitting out, I think he sat out the whole year, that he would be getting these huge numbers and didn't even come close to it. The Jets got him for a song compared to what he was asking, initially thought he was going to get. So a win for the Jets, a loss for Bell, but still, again.
Yeah, there'll still be, don't worry, Jets, there'll be plenty of losses during the regular season, but a nice win in the offseason.
And last but not least, probably the biggest story in sports and mainstream media this week was the college admissions scandal, which I find it kind of hard to believe that people are shocked that this was happening, that wealthy people were paying to have their
kids. I think the thing that they were shocked about is, first of all, the FBI totally overreacting, as they did with like Roger Stone. By the way, I'm on both sides of this thing. Don't come at me with like, oh, well, that's how they treated Roger Stone. But like, guns drawn on Felicity Huffman, really?
Really?
Is that really necessary? Do you really need 200 agents? Just call the only agents you need, or you call the person's agent. You say, look, we need you to come down. We're arresting you.
Right.
And they come in willingly, you know, at 5 a.m. or whatever, without making a big thing. But the FBI now, you know, everyone like, oh, they love the FBI because he's going after Trump. But now it's like, well, now they're going after Hollywood stars. Like, well, wait a second. Now this is an overreaction. Like, all right, it's the FBI, people.
Yeah. You know, Roger Stone was a flight risk. So that's why they had, 200 people show up at his house.
Yeah. The 75-year-old man was a flight risk.
Right. And he's throw all of his hard drives in the microwave.
The 75-year-old man who knew that an arrest was coming soon was a flight risk. Sound good. Anyway, so there's all this reaction. And then you start reading. I've been going back and forth on this thing. Like, first of all, I was like, come on, rich people do this all the time. Hell, it's the reason why universities were invented was just so rich people could send their kids somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then it became like this thing of like, oh, well, you have to go to schools to get, by the way, that's all been debunked. The university that you graduate from does not have a significant impact on your success. Is the main indicator of how successful you are. But I think for these Hollywood people and these rich people, it was like, for them, it was like, well, my daughter's at Harvard.
Right. It's a status thing.
It's a status thing. It wasn't about like what I've gotten for them, because there's a lot of money being spent here, man. Like $500,000 to send your dumb kid to Harvard, and they had like people taking tests.
Right. That's amazing to me. And like, paying people off that are like, allowing this to happen.
So illegal. Yeah. Like, it's just bribe, man. Just say, look, I'll buy you a building. Haven't you seen Back to School? Rodney Dangerfield gets into college because he buys a building.
Right. Yeah, buy a building.
Buy That's a building, man. You're not breaking any laws if you do that.
Yeah.
Or maybe you are still. I don't know.
So what's coming up next?
Who will be admitted to the Foul Territory University show? You're going to have to bribe us to find out.